Let us pray. Anoint my lips, O Lord, that I may faithfully proclaim your word. Now may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. In all team sports, each player is important to the overall performance of a team, but certain players play a pivotal role. For instance, and we've experienced that this season, in football, a good quarterback plays such a huge role. If he gets injured and the second string quarterback is marginal in his abilities, the whole performance of the offensive team, in fact, the whole team is going to be adversely affected. If the quarterback can't land the football into the receiver's hands, if he can't evade the rush, it has a dampening effect on the players, the hometown watching the team, and thus on the whole team. In our New Testament reading, we have a scenario where the Lord Jesus Christ had predicted his betrayal, Peter's denial, and his own going away. And yes, the disciples were dejected and dispirited. The wind had been taken out of their sails, especially in regard to Christ's physical presence with them. It was no doubt hard for them to hear about his going away. But Jesus in John 14 teaches the disciples about the Holy Spirit as a means of comforting and encouraging them to trust in him. So this morning I will be focusing on what is the role of the Holy Spirit, especially as it relates to this issue, that Christ has not left us as orphans. So my first point is that Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will be with us and in us. Jesus says in John 14, verses 16 through 18, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And so Jesus is appealing to his apostles that they should not think of themselves as being abandoned by him. He is going to leave the world by his ascension, but he will send the Holy Spirit. He calls the Holy Spirit another helper. The Greek word paraclete can be translated as advocate, helper, or comforter. The reason Jesus uses the phrase another helper is that Jesus himself calls himself our advocate in 1 John 2, 1 and 2, where the text reads, my children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And so Jesus calls himself an advocate, a helper, because he suffered and died for our sins that we might be counted righteous in God's sight through his redemptive suffering on the cross. In John 14, verse 16 through 18, the Holy Spirit is spoken as our helper, our comforter, our advocate, as he is to continue that divine presence among Christian believers, as he is with us and in us. And it's no doubt in saying these words that Jesus is predicting the day of Pentecost, that while the Holy Spirit was always with believers, he will be with them in a new way. The Holy Spirit abides with us and will be in us. So if we take these words of Jesus about this helper, who is specifically called the helper and the Spirit of truth, we begin to see something of the roles of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is sent by the Father and bears witness to Christ's words that Jesus is both divine and human, who has made atonement for our sins on the cross and rose again on the third day. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, who bears witness that the message that Jesus has spoken is the truth. The Spirit convinces that of us. He bears witness with our spirits that Jesus is speaking the truth. And that's why he's called the Spirit of Truth. He confirms this truthfulness of Jesus Christ as the God-man and the work of our salvation accomplished by Christ. It is this same Holy Spirit that is with us and in us. And that is our conviction, that the Spirit bears witness in our souls, actively revealing and interpreting the person, the work, and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus reminds us that the Holy Spirit is with us and the Spirit bears witness in our hearts. Jesus is also making a distinction between the work of the Spirit within believers and how the world continues to reject the work of the Spirit as well as that of the Son. Jesus says that the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, whereas the Spirit is bearing witness within the hearts and souls of believers because he abides with us and is in us. Also in John 14, verse 19, Jesus says that while the world no longer sees Jesus, his disciples will see him. Jesus is speaking about that time period after Jesus' resurrection, but before his ascension. And during that time, Jesus will appear to his apostles on a number of occasions, but that he would not appear to the world at large. In Acts chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we read this: after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. It was during this time that Jesus appeared to his disciples and taught them concerning the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is with them a little while longer, and he appears to them, showing them that in fact he is risen from the dead. And what they did not understand during his ministry, some things which they have heard from Christ but didn't understand, would become clear during this time. And Jesus makes it clear that those who love Jesus as the Christ will keep and obey Christ's teachings. In John 14, verses 21, 23, and 24, it says this: he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. And so Jesus shows the contrast between believers who hear and trust Christ's message versus the world which does not believe or obey Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is with us and is in us, and he strengthens our hearts to believe the message of Christ. A second way that the Holy Spirit teaches and comforts us is that he teaches and reminds the apostles of Christ's message. John 14, 25 and 26 says this: these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So the Lord Jesus is making a promise to the apostles that the Holy Spirit will teach them all things and bring to their remembrance whatever Jesus has said to them. The meaning of the phrase "all things" is that the Holy Spirit will teach them all things concerning what Jesus said to them. And so the phrase "all things" is the words of Jesus and their meaning and truthfulness. One example is given in John 2, 19 through 22, where Jesus is saying, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." At the time, the disciples had no idea what Jesus was talking about, and neither did the Jewish religious leaders. They thought they were talking about the temple in Jerusalem. But Jesus was actually speaking about the temple of his body. Destroy it, crucify him, and in 3 days he will raise it up. And as the disciples remembered that, after he was risen from the dead, then they remembered and believed the scripture and the promise Jesus had made to them. And so Jesus' very words throughout his ministry at the time didn't make sense, but later on, they would come to understand what he meant. And that's just one example, an illustration about how the Holy Spirit brought to mind the words of Jesus to the apostles and brought them the proper interpretation. He not only reminded them, but Jesus would also give them the proper understanding of his word. In this case, the promise of his resurrection. And so the Holy Spirit brought to their remembrance all that Jesus had said, taught, and meant. The Lord gave this promise to the apostles concerning this remembering and teaching of the Lord Jesus. And we benefit from this because the apostles didn't forever just keep it as an oral message, but they wrote it down. And we have it, the very words of the New Testament. And so we benefit from this very promise because they wrote down the teachings of Scripture and what Jesus had taught. And so the very words of the New Testament are the words of God for our salvation and the forgiveness of our sins. And so the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God. He has the disciples write it down. And he continues to convince us, each succeeding generation that lives upon this earth, of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, as he applies wherever we are lacking in our faith in the Lord. He strengthens us so that we may follow, believe, and truly trust these words that Christ spoke and the Holy Spirit moved upon the apostles to write down. And so the Holy Spirit is not only with us and in us, but he moved the apostles to write down the very message of Christ. A third way that the Holy Spirit ministers to us is the Holy Spirit ministers Christ's peace to us. Jesus says in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." The peace that Jesus is talking about here is not the cessation of hostilities from enemies, but rather the gift of trust and confidence in our union with God and his promises of salvation. The world's idea of peace is something about destroying our enemies and having outward circumstances which are beneficial to us. But the moment that safety and security of our circumstances changes, then in a worldly way of thinking, we don't have peace anymore. But the peace that Jesus gives is grounded in God and not in our circumstances. It is this peace that our Lord Jesus Christ has in this gospel shown us in very visible form. Here he is about to be betrayed by one of his own, denied by another main of his followers, Peter, and deserted by all the rest. And Jesus, in the middle of this storm, is at peace. And that's that very heart lesson that we need to imitate and copy from our Lord Jesus. It is this peace that perfectly is demonstrated by Christ, which God had given to him, which is to endure the cross for our salvation. In fact, later on in the gospel, he tells his own disciples that they're not going to have a bed of roses or have a peaceful set of circumstances. In fact, he says just the opposite. These things have I spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. And so while Jesus was at peace in the midst of a storm of trouble, he also tells us that we will face trouble. And yet if we trust in him, we can have peace. And I realize how contradictory that sounds to us in our own flesh. This gift of peace is how we counteract and overcome our fears and our doubts, which Jesus also addresses in the second half of John 14, 27, where he says, "Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Jesus is urging us not to be carried away by our fears, but to receive his gift of peace and trust in his saving power and mercy. And those of us who experience fear, which all of us do to some degree, may take comfort that God's life and the assurance that he loves us, as we allow that to grow in our hearts and minds, will be healed and refocused as we trust in his gift of peace more fully. And I have to say, that's a learning curve for us. It's a process, not a once and for all act, that we receive this gift of peace. The promise of Christ and the peace of Christ is mediated to us by the presence and work of the Holy Spirit within us. And so the Lord Jesus returns to the reality that he is going away. It reminds his disciples that they, if they had fully loved him and understood his words, they would have rejoiced that he was going away and he was going back to the Father. And then he says in John 14, 28, "For the Father is greater than I." This saying is somewhat puzzling because we've heard throughout this gospel that Jesus is equal to the Father in regards to his divinity and his equality with the Father. And yet we must remember that each role of the Trinity has an important role to play in our salvation. God the Father purposed our salvation, God the Son accomplishes our salvation, and God the Holy Spirit applies our salvation. This is an eternal relationship that God the Son submits to the will of God the Father. And so it makes sense as we hear these words in John 14 that the Father is greater than I, that Jesus submits to the Father even though he is equal to the Father. And that helps us to make sense even of the famous verse in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Jesus was willing to be sent by God the Father into the world. That was due to this eternal relationship that God the Son submitted to God the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ closes this section with the statement that the ruler of this world has come, but he has no part in Jesus, which points to Christ's holiness and his sinlessness, that the Lord Jesus perfectly loved the Father and did exactly as the Father had commanded him. May we as the people of God rejoice in the work and role of the Holy Spirit who is with us and in us, who has given us the very words of Jesus Christ in the writings of the New Testament and ministers to us the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, graft in our hearts the promises of your word, that by trusting in your only begotten Son, we have eternal life. By the might of the Holy Spirit, lift us into your presence, where we may be still and know that you are God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.